Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. My name is John Jacob Schmidt. Proud to be your host. And my name is your name, too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, thank you for tuning in across the American Redoubt. And for those of you out in occupied territory, outside the wire, tuning in, listening on live streaming, thank you for joining us. Hope you had a blessed week. I had a blessed week, and I want to share a little bit of that with you. We've got a great guest coming up on the half hour, some things that pertain to, well, some of the stuff that we've been talking about, self-reliance, patriots gathering together to help each other in times of need. We'll be talking about that, a new organization coming online based out of the American Redoubt, or covering the American Redoubt. Very exciting. Another very exciting thing. Hello to all of you in Prosser, Washington, in the lower valley there between Tri-Cities and Yakima. Great to see so many of you guys as well this Thursday evening with Chris Ann Hall. She had a multi-day speaking event. Matter of fact, I think that's going on today as well. At the very same place where we are going to be holding the Northwest Preparedness Expo and Patriot Rally on May 7th. Same place, same stage. And lots of good things coming up there. Representative Matt Shea and Pastor Sharam Hadian, myself. They actually have 11 speakers now, over 27 vendors and more being added. So that's definitely something you will not want to miss. And I look forward to always, you know, meeting you guys, shaking your hands, looking you in the eye, and just meeting you. It's an honor. It's a treat. And I was able to do that Thursday night, too. So special shout out to all you guys that are gathering together to learn about your heritage under the tutelage of constitutional attorney Chris Ann Hall. She does an amazing job. Every single time. And I had some epiphany moments. The light bulbs came on. Dots were connected. Learning more about our Constitution and our heritage. Things I did not even know. And it's just as many people as you can get plugged into your heritage to take it back that's been robbed from you. That's a necessity. We cannot prevail unless you know where you came from and you understand the foundational documents that made our country what it is. That shining beacon on a hill. Amazing stuff. Good stuff. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook at Radio Free Redoubt, facebook.com/Radio Free Redoubt. And now we're going to get into the news and commentary from AP, UPI, and the major American networks. The news is next right here on Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of resistance. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days Book Series. Got a chance to talk to him for a while Thursday night as well. And that's always a special treat. Go to 299days.com to learn more. And the audiobooks are all out, all 10 of them. So check them out. Now, international news. Remember we talked about the Pope hand-picking Muslim refugees to show what a caring, benevolent, all-inclusive kind of guy he is, to set the example that the rest of Europe should follow. Of course, they don't get to hand-pick who comes and invades their country, right? Or comes in as a guest. Well, we also talked about all of the Christian persecution that's taking place over there, and Christians in more danger than any other group, running for their lives. If anyone needs asylum, well, that's just not part of the agenda, because this is al-Hijra. This is the invasion and taking over of a country or continent through immigration. A Christian brother and sister from Syria felt blessed to have been among the dozen refugees selected to start a new life in Italy, but now say their savior, Pope Francis. Stop right there. No man is your savior. There is only one savior. Our King Jesus is our only savior. Do not put your hope in any man. But I continue. Pope Francis abandoned them on a Greek island, according to this report, which is, oh man, I got it linked, but it's like the link is hidden. We'll have this in the highlights and resources posting. But last week it was covered in the Daily Mail. Rula and Melek Abo, who had been housed in a refugee camp in Lesbos, said they thanked their lucky stars when they found out the Vatican had selected them during the pontiff's visit to the island last week. Their dreams were shattered, though, when they were informed the following day that they would not be traveling to Rome. Instead, three Muslim families were taken. Huh. Maybe they shouldn't have thanked their lucky stars. Maybe they should have placed their blessing squarely where it belonged, and that's on the Lord. But they thanked their lucky stars, and then things didn't work out. You don't have lucky stars. All good things come from the Lord. Asked why they were all Muslim, Francis said there was something wrong with the papers of a Christian family on the list. Now, I'll tell you exactly what was wrong with their papers. They were listed as Christian on their papers. That's what was wrong on their papers. I'll tell you what. If there was some clerical error, some type of technical issue, that would have been dealt with if the Vatican said, we want to take these people. They would have made it happen. They weren't taken because they were Christians. That's my assertion. The siblings arrived in Greece on April 1st, 10 days after a controversial European Union deal called for asylum seekers in Greece to be returned to Turkey. So their hopes to avoid deportation now hinge on the applications for asylum. Guys, remember to pray for the persecuted Christians all around the world. Mrs. Schmidt and I both give to several agencies that help with persecuted Christians. Geez, it just slipped my mind. The one that maybe I wasn't supposed to mention it. I don't know. But anyway, persecuted Christians around the world, if anything else, lift them up in prayer. Venezuela, let's head back over to the Pope's home continent. Venezuela blackouts are scheduled. 40 days? The government officials announced Thursday that they would begin rolling blackouts for 40 days in cities across Venezuela starting next week. The move will help save power at a time when water levels at the country's main electric dam are at record lows. Well, that's funny because a couple weeks ago they said it was to help the environment. Now it's because water levels are so low. It's never their fault. The government says the El Nino weather patterns and drought are to blame. Outside experts, though, say mismanagement and a corrupt government have been the root cause. You guys don't believe that, do you? A communist government having corruption and mismanagement issues? It's got to be something else. You guys know that North Korea launched a missile from a submarine. 6:30 p.m. their local time, 3:30 a.m. for those of us in the American Redoubt, unless you're in Montana or Wyoming or southern Idaho, Pacific time. South Korea officials said that it appears that to have flown for about 30 kilometers, about 19 miles, well short of the 186 miles that would have been considered a successful test. And one U.S. official said Saturday the launch was provocative but not a threat to the U.S., and the missile was fired away from South Korea and South Carolina and Japan. Let's move over to the national news. The Washington Post. This is interesting. I have mixed feelings about this. Schools in Florida are renewing a program that monitors their students' social media activity for criminal or threatening behavior, although it has caused some controversy since its adoption last year. Now, the title of this news article is Schools Are Helping Police Spy on Kids' Social Media Activity. Okay, let me give you a little lesson here on PERSEC and OPSEC, personal security and operational security. In the intelligence community, Facebook social media is what we consider OSINT. That's open source intelligence. You cannot have any reasonable expectation of privacy unless you put privacy measures in place where only your friends are allowed to see your content. Do not expect to have privacy there. You're putting it out there for the whole world to see. And of course, some of these little godless heathens should have their stuff kept an eye on, but it shouldn't be the state doing it. It should be their bloody parents, which are not. Well, the school system, that's my personal rant. Back to the story. The school system in Orange County, where Orlando is located, recently told Orlando Sentinel that the program, which partners with the school system with local police departments, has been successful in protecting student safety, saying that it led to 12 police investigations in the past year. You know, there's a saying, and that is that our Constitution and our rights are only suitable for governing a religious and moral people. When you step away from that, you create the requirement for additional monitoring, adult supervision. So anyway, look, if you want to maintain privacy, use encryption. If you want everyone to know about it, put it on Facebook. There's your rules of engagement. From Richmond.com. Governor Terry McAuliffe signed an executive order Friday restoring the voting rights of 206,000 ex-felons, a sweeping action the governor said was aimed largely at rectifying Virginia's long and sad history. There's no emotionalism. Okay, there's red flags should be going up of suppressing African-American voting power. Now, the move coming in presidential election year outraged Republicans who accused McAuliffe of abusing his power to help longtime ally Hillary Clinton win a battleground state by putting more likely Democratic voters on the books. They're not Democratic, by the way. They're Democrat, not Democratic. Okay, the governor, a voting bloc of Democrats are Democrat voters. The governor's order applies to all violent and nonviolent felons who had finished their sentences and supervised release as of Friday. They're just scooping them all up. Even those who have not even applied for a restoration of rights. We're giving you your rights to vote. Now get out there and vote, even if you didn't apply for it. I wonder if they'll do the same thing with their other rights, like the right of self-defense and restore their Second Amendment rights or their ability to run for public office. Or are they just going to handpick which rights, what's politically convenient to give them? Of course, they're not going to let them defend themselves. We don't want to go that far with our, you know, rectifying our sad and long abusive history. This is pretty good here. We're going to take a break. I love the partisans who helped me out with Facebook, speaking of Facebook, because they put up this headline, the new $20 bill coming out. The U.S. Treasury will throw off the founder of the Democrat Party from the $20 bill and replace him with a gun-toting Republican. It's so true. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1. Behold Darkness and Sorrow. Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams. Since he is a new Christian and unfamiliar with the Holy Scriptures, he turns to an older pastor to help interpret the dreams. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack which will wipe out America's electric grid, sending the country into a technological dark age. Living in a nation where all life-sustaining systems of support are completely dependent on electricity and computers, the odds for survival are dismal. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Welcome back to Radio Free Readout, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys for staying with us, and thank you for helping to spread the word and the message of Radio Free Readout. I want to thank you guys especially also for your prayers and for your financial support. This is a listener-supported show. We do have some business owners that have stepped up to help offset some of the hard costs and paying for some of the airtime. But if you have a business, you're a patriot, and you want to put your business out there in front of other patriots, please contact me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. to inquire about advertising and helping to support Radio Free Readout here on the American Christian Network. And speaking of that, I want to thank very much the folks at Works Holsters who have stepped up to help support us. WERKZ.com, custom-made holsters made right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And you can go to Works.com. to learn more, and thank them also for helping to support Radio Free Readout. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR for your discount on your next purchase. Now, speaking of financial support, you know how North Carolina has, and Missouri, and who else, has come under just vehement attacks from the left, including some of these corporate individuals, businesses who have stepped forward to attack North Carolina for passing legislation saying you cannot force people to use a bathroom, a cross-gender bathroom. This is a measure. It's not about protecting someone's feelings. You don't have a constitutional right or a God-given right to not have your feelings hurt. You do have a right that the government is its duty to protect and defend your rights, to secure your rights. So to make a law enabling a man to go into a woman's locker room or bathroom places women and children unnecessarily in harm's way. State of North Carolina and state of Missouri did the exact right, correct thing by protecting the rights and providing for the security of their citizens. But some people don't see it that way. PayPal is one of them. We use PayPal, and we have a lot of financial support from listeners who set up the monthly payment, just $5, $10, $20, $50 a month to help us keep things going. And PayPal is a convenient way to do that. but we are looking for a way to dump PayPal like a bad habit, because supporting an organization that is helping to advance a cause that is in conflict with our moral values, I cannot in good conscience continue to do business with them. So we are looking. If you guys know of an alternative, we're researching it right now, and we want to get switched over as quickly as we can, if at all possible. It's got to be possible. But anyway, this next story about Target. Someone said, "Do you know about this thing? Target's they're calling for a boycott because Target is now openly expressing this transgender. You can go into any bathroom you want in our stores. We're an inclusive business. So if you're a man and you feel like a woman, you want to go into the women's bathroom, you know, by all means, we fully support you." So I'll read you the story here in just a little bit. But people are sending this to me, and I'm thinking they've been on this bandwagon for years, proud sponsors of homosexual parades or whatever it is. And I know we're running out of places to shop, aren't we? I mean, there's Target, there's Home Depot, there's so many. Conservative group calls for Target boycott over transgender bathroom policy. The American Family Association is calling for a Target boycott, the store chain Target, in response to a decision made by the retailer this week to allow transgender employees and customers to use bathrooms that correlate with their gender identity, not their biological gender. The conservative Christian group argues that Target's policy poses a danger to wives and daughters, bingo, and said about 200,000 people have signed a petition to boycott as of Friday, yesterday afternoon. This means a man can simply say he feels like a woman today and enters the women's restroom, even if young girls or women are already in there. The AFA president, Tim Wildman, said in an open letter, "Target's policy is exactly how sexual predators gain access to their victims." He is so correct. This has been proven. They want to bury the truth and the statistics of the harm that this places women and children in. And with Target publicly boasting that men can enter women's bathrooms, where do you think predators are going to go? That's the question that he poses, which is the question that many of us have had in the backs of our minds watching this whole insanity unfold. It's so simple. I mean, they should have... Are we going to have, like, body parts, pictures on the bathrooms? And a sign says, okay, when you walk up, just reach down, pull your pants out, and look down. What do you see? Okay, this is for you over here. This is your room where you go. I mean, we are in trouble as a nation. But there's some silver lining. Pro-lifers are stepping up and they are having an impact. Pro-lifers staging nationwide today, standing against Planned Parenthood funding to defund it. As the movement seeking to expose the truth about Planned Parenthood continues, Americans think about the way that Americans think about abortion. The largest nationwide series of pro-life rallies in the history of the United States picked up once again on Saturday, appearing in more than 200 cities. So momentum is growing there. That's very exciting. Let's go into the American readout, where some of these Planned Parenthood defund demonstrations are also taking place. But I want to switch gears a little bit here. There is one of many blogs that I follow. One's called IdahoFreedom.org. And because Idaho's right in the heart of the American Redoubt. But don't tune out, Washington listeners, Oregon listeners, or wherever you may be, because this is really, it does apply to wherever you are. He writes, "Idaho voters must ask tough questions of legislative candidates. I will take Idaho out of that. And I would put any voter anywhere must ask tough questions of your legislative candidates." The problem, the great economist Walter Williams told an audience on Thursday, is not the politicians are not the problem. It is us. And I concur. It's the electorate. Obama is not a problem. He's a symptom of a much deeper problem. Williams, one of my heroes, this author writes, spoke Thursday to a generally conservative crowd, people attending a Heritage Foundation event in Philadelphia. He lamented the political class eagerness to continually increase government services, programs, and handouts. But the blame, he said, rests with voters who allow it for it to happen and who even demand it. This is a communist model to make people dependent on the state and in fact, displace the churches with the state. The state is taking on the role that churches historically and traditionally have, but now the churches are being pushed back to take a back seat. For a candidate to turn down big government solutions is political suicide, he said, because the public expects politicians to support programs intended to help people. The public expects candidates to deliver results to their districts, even if it means using the power of government to take from some to give to others. We're seeing a deviation from that in the American Redoubt. In the free zones, I'm seeing more and more citizens demanding that their legislators do not compromise to serve big government for these freebies. And this is slowly taking place, but there's some teaching that's going on. And I've talked to Representative Heather Scott from Idaho about this before and others, Representative Matt Shea from Washington. But Representative Heather Scott is doing these speaking engagements talking about the Center for Self-Governance. And I'm going to be talking to the director of the Center for Self-Governance next week, right here on ACN, because you guys need to know how to take control of your government. You need to know that the power rests in your hands. And I assure you, I've spoken to so many legislators, when they get pressure from their constituents, they take that as guidance. They want the feedback. Unless you've got a left-wing agenda representative, then you need to get rid of them. But the conservative, God-fearing patriots that I know of that are in elected positions, they crave that feedback and guidance. They want the people to drive them. But the problem is, in some of these districts where you have God-fearing, liberty-loving, patriot leaders in elected positions, the people feel like they got it made. They go on about their business, leaving this one person all this work to do in one person's hands. It's all about you guys. You need to step up. We're going to talk about that next week, too. We'll be back in a minute, and we're going to talk with Steve McLaughlin about self-reliance in the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist, simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture, or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you for that, Jordan. I talked to Jordan Page. We talked last week, and he is campaigning for freedom. It is so good. We're going to see him this summer. I'll be talking about how you guys can do that. I hope you were able to tune in to CougRadio.com yesterday and listen to Rich and Sarah, the only conservative show on the University of Washington's, Washington State University's campus online radio station. And they are under continuous attack, but they're doing a great job. And I wasn't able to listen because I got in so late from Central Washington. I was not able to tune in Friday morning, yesterday morning, but I will definitely be there. I might even call in, and we want to support those guys. Coug Radio, K-O-U-G radio.com. Great patriots. And it's so good. I'm going to see if I can get Sarah, the co-host, to co-host with me in 2 weeks from Prosser when we're covering Prosser there. We're going to be broadcasting live on location. So let's see if we can talk Sarah into co-hosting with me for that event. That'd be a lot of fun. And let's see. That event is going to prepare you. And this I'm setting you up here because we got a guest on the line. I'm really excited to see this project actually starting to come to fruition because we got some big events coming up. You know, our Teotihuacan readiness exercise, grid down training exercise for you to practice your emergency disaster family plan or group church plan, your militia plan, whatever you want to do. This is a weekend to flip the switch and practice what it is you've been preparing for. That's June 10th through the 12th. But that week leading up to it, from the 7th through the 10th, is Cascadia Rising. This is a government disaster training exercise that's going to be taking place based on a massive earthquake in the Cascadia subduction zone, Oregon, Washington, the coastal regions. But only they're doing it from Tuesday through Friday. When you guys are all at work or doing your lives, this is about government continuity of government operations. Not much thought is going into civil defense like it used to be about the citizen. But there's organizations. AMRON, of course, is one. It's an emergency communications network for citizens. But something bigger, I would say, kind of like on the order of almost like Red Cross, but only for citizens. Not to support the government. It's like the FEMA for citizens, not for the government, I should say. So it's a pleasure and an honor to bring on to you a great patriot, Steve from Liberty Disaster Relief Services, also known as Leaders. Steve, thank you so much for being with us on Radio Free Redoubt.
Good morning, John, and everybody out there at the Redoubt. Welcome. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm speaking to you from deep behind enemy lines.
All right. Well, God bless you for that then. Thanks for sharing with us. You've got a project you've been working on with some other patriots for quite some time, and I'm excited about this. Now, we already threw the name out there, Liberty Disaster Relief Services, but let's get that out there for the listeners. I want to cover two things. First of all, what is that, and what is the mission of Leaders, and how does that directly affect the listener out there in the audience?
Well, let me give you a little background on how Leaders got its start. About two summers ago, following the fires in Okanagan County that destroyed over 300 homes, and then from the fires last summer across the state, our Patriot group, which is a political watchdog organization called Liberty Watch, motivated our entire team from across the state to go up to Okanagan County to help with reconstruction of homes, clearing debris, and other things of that nature. Last summer, one of our favorite people, Matt Shea, put out a call for disaster relief supplies, and so we mobilized, and in 7 days, we were able to raise 12 tons of equipment and supplies that we provided to members, to people all across northern Washington and eastern Washington who were affected by the fires. These homes were delivered directly, these supplies were delivered directly to the homes of the people that needed them. And because of that, we decided it would be a great idea to start a nonprofit organization so that we could raise funds to provide relief supplies to Washingtonians and others in the Northwest who might need relief from any disaster that comes our way.
This is exciting, and this is real personal for me too, because I know that I was on a deployment of AMRON operators providing emergency communications during that exact same time, and we were fully aware of what you guys were doing as well, and it was really cool to see citizens self mobilizing, I guess. Where I know there's FEMA and organizations like this, but with many of these, there is so much red tape. There's bureaucracy that you have to wade through, and sometimes the responses can be very slow for disaster communication support and your general just disaster relief. We were able to, and your group was able to get boots on the ground like in hours, not days, and it was just a really cool thing to see. So let's talk about that particular deployment. How much aid and relief do you think you moved into that area?
We moved 24,000 pounds of relief supplies with 7 days' notice. And these supplies came predominantly from the Pierce Thurston area, thanks to Liberty Watch and his South Sound Civil Defense Group. Liberty Watch of Whatcom County sent a truckload, and then Liberty Watch and other groups in Kitsap County, along with the help from Brothers Motorsports, sent a load that was subsequently picked up in Cashmere and taken out to Stevens County. So we had supplies delivered to Okanagan and across the top of Okanagan County, heading out towards Republic, and then down through Stevens and Spokane counties and Ferry counties, where some of these folks were affected.
That is incredible. That is encouraging. I know with the Oso mudslide, the government response was so slow. And when the people on the ground, when the citizens chose to take action, they got immediate results and tangible results that were truly helping the people in need at the very moment they needed it the most. And, you know, that just describes what you're doing there. So already you've been doing this, helping people. You've got real world operations under your belt, and this thing obviously is growing into something that's going to become more formal. And you said something about you're actually going to be developing a nonprofit and actually formalizing this. Is that correct?
In order to raise funds through a state registered organization, I'm going to have to go to the IRS to register leaders as a 501c3. And because of this, it has got to be 100% apolitical. But at the same time, it's our intent to be able to quickly organize through the groups that we have out in across the state and indeed across the readout in the Northwest to solicit the aid of the various groups to help us raise and distribute these supplies that would be needed. One of the things I learned in studying the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina was there were three organizations that were there working on the ground in Katrina. There was FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. There was MEMA, the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency. And there was REMA, and they called that in Mississippi, and I'm not making this up, the Redneck Emergency Management Agency. And REMA turned out to be the most effective of the group. And I learned this from talking to folks on the ground in Mississippi following Katrina, who rolled up their sleeves and went to work. And immediately after the storm passed, looters had staged just outside of the storm's destructive path and descended on the Gulf Coast very quickly after the storm. Well, REMA, the members of REMA or the neighborhoods got together, and out came the chainsaws. The men provided security for their neighborhoods. The chainsaw folks cleared the streets, and the barbecues came out to feed folks. They took care of the elderly and those that couldn't help themselves. It was a classic means of taking care of our own, and there was no government involvement. This allowed the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency to do what they had to do for, restoring critical infrastructure. And by the time FEMA arrived, it turned into Soviet-style breadline. And so using that concept that from REMA, this is how we're going to build Liberty Disaster Relief Services. So we all pitch in, we all help out, we all raise the supplies we need, and we help everybody out. I have to emphasize that when we do this, we are going to help anybody that needs it. We're not focusing our efforts on any one group. It's going to be statewide, and hopefully, ultimately, at least out to the Pacific Northwest, including the readout.
Yeah, that's so encouraging to see, citizens in action. They are. I know you have to maintain. You have to remain apolitical. But because you are apolitical, you can also, and nonprofit, you can also work with the churches in each of these communities. There should be no barrier there, correct?
That is correct. And in fact, we're looking at churches and granges.
Yes.
And part of our concept that is currently under development by one of our board members, Al Acosta. Al's a former retired Army officer who dealt in Special Forces logistics. He's putting together our concept of operations, and our intention is to look at working with granges and churches to place supply caches around the state that are tailored to the types of disasters that might affect that region of Washington or Idaho. And if a disaster strikes, we can immediately access those caches to give relief supplies very quickly to those who need it without having to wait. And we're working on that now.
Well, it's just that the churches are the most practical and logical way to enter into a community. I mean, they've got the pulse on the community. They have large representation of their community in their congregations. You got business owners. You've got additional resources and labor and skill sets to pool from. And, I know that during emergencies, when you try to coordinate with the county, they are so overwhelmed. I know that in Okanagan County and in that whole area, they were completely overwhelmed. They had so many moving parts. They wanted everything to fall under their command structure, I guess. They wanted to be in charge of you, but then after they've got your name on the map as being under them, they didn't know what to do with it. I mean, they were just so overwhelmed. So this type of organization is really great to go right into the community, help the people at the lowest possible level without the necessity of bureaucracy being involved. You just, while they're planning and discussing how to implement it, you're out there implementing it. You can brief them afterward how it went.
Our intent is to remove all the bureaucracy and go in and provide these supplies as needed to help out. Further, we are going to begin a fairly intense training program for the folks who are interested in volunteering with leaders to train in things such as search and rescue, to a limited extent, urban search and rescue, navigation, and most importantly, communication. so that we can develop a network of trained personnel that can not only deliver the supplies, but also could augment emergency services personnel with volunteer search teams, communications teams, and the like, similar to what you did in Conconelli last summer.
Well, I know that there are actually quite a few AMRON members who are also members of South Sound, the organization there with Liberty Watch and so on. So you already have the interoperability built in. And, we were in very close contact with several elected officials and grassroots leaders. And it was encouraging how well we were received by, for example, the city leadership. And this is another way where you can work directly with government. But the town of Conconelli is so tiny. When they evacuated, there's like 30 people left in that town. Most of them were either with the fire department or with the city council, the mayor, administration for the city government. They welcomed us with open arms. We walked in, a non-government agency, but there are government-affiliated relief organizations. But this fire was so big, this disaster was so on such a large scale that the small town of Conconelli were basically pushed to the side. They were a very low priority. We've got bigger things over here to deal with. So they did not have any of those resources available to them, Aries and Racy's communications members and things like that. They just did not allocate any of these disaster relief resources to this little small town that's probably just going to burn up anyway. So let's focus over here. So the organization that you're building up right now can fill in those gaps. When the government is overwhelmed, they cannot reach everybody. You can just quickly assess, quickly take action, and move people in. So with Liberty Disaster Relief Services can go where they're needed. And that's exciting.
That's exactly what we'd like to do. And, you know, if we don't have any objection to working with the emergency services organizations.
Right.
Oh, and in fact, I view us as a force multiplier for them. But, you know, more importantly, think about the poor small community out there that is bypassed. And if we could get in there and provide those folks with the assistance that they need, which are usually outside of the footprint of focus for relief services, think about, you know, what we can do for a lot of people that really need it. For example, you know, you were talking about Cascadia Rising. And when I teach incident management courses, I look at I frequently use this earthquake as an exercise for emergency planning. And one of the things I've learned is when the Cascadia subduction zone goes, certainly the central focus of government agencies and emergency relief and the guard itself is going to be essentially from, if you drew a circle from Everett down to Olympia through Seattle, that's where the primary focus is going to be. Out where I am in an undisclosed location in the mountains west of Seattle, we have to plan on a minimum of 30 days without any type of relief, and it's probably going to be more like 72. So it's those types of people that we want to go after, those little small communities like that.
Well, I can absolutely see a real world need for it. I've witnessed it with my own eyes, and even Hurricane Katrina, the larger cities like New Orleans were consuming so many of the resources. There were people that were literally left just hanging out there to dry for 30, 60 days and more.
Right.
And so these guys can go out there, seeker hunter groups, looking for those people that are stranded out there that have gotten overlooked. Okay, now the funding, you're setting this up. So this will be a tax deductible donation to help support it, right?
Yes, it will. That's our intent by design. And
good.
So, you know, we are going to maintain very strict accountability rules. You know, and we will follow any IRS rules that we're faced with to the letter for providing the mechanism to fund us. We have to be very careful about those rules. And in fact, my daughter recently set up a nonprofit, and about 70% of the questionnaire that she had to fill out was, are you associated with a religious or political organization? If so, what? We have to put in that firewall to ensure that we don't cross those lines, so that those that want to contribute and take the tax deduction, and I think give money to a good cause, because our plan is for about, you know, 98% of funds raised to go to disaster relief supplies and the cash. You know, the other 2% is probably for providing fuel and administrative costs to be able to deliver those supplies. And that's going to be a moving target for a little bit. But, you know, generally speaking, our focus is going to be on the persons affected by disaster. And one last note, I did not use the C word, and that is victim. I don't like that word, and I don't like the connotation and the status that it gives people. We have too many victims in our society already.
Yeah. Now the pendulum swings the other way. I hear you. But this is exciting. So now, do you guys have a website set up yet?
We don't have a website. We are getting a Facebook page, Liberty Watch of Washington State. In fact, if everybody could go to search on Liberty Watch of Washington State, I'm sorry, Liberty Disaster Relief Services, but there's a plug for Liberty Watch, but to Liberty Disaster Relief Services and like it, Facebook has a new rule out that says you have to have 25 likes before they let you come up as an entity on Facebook. So everybody that's on the radio now, log in, go to Facebook, look up Liberty Disaster Relief Services, and like it, and that'll really help us out. I very much appreciate it.
All right. I'm going there right now then. Okay. So we are at – okay, I'm on it. I think I'm on it.
All right. Like it.
I'm looking for Liberty Disaster Services. Okay. Hold on a second. Fumbling my way through here because I see – I know I'm on the site, but I don't see the like page. I'm not seeing it.
Well,
I will find it.
We'll try to push it through. When we find out, we'll get a message to the Amron page and to the Liberty Watch of Washington State page to let you know when it's up and running. And the one thing you could do right now for us is once we get that page going, that you like it and check on it periodically, and we'll try to link it to some of the other websites, so that if any of you out there in the readout are interested in joining up with us and volunteering, we'd love to have you.
You bet. And I'm going to help spread the word. By the way, I just liked it. And so we'll get the word out there and get folks to help spread the word about this. This could be something that you might need. We're just dealing with a very volatile earth right now. And those fires affected so many people. I know in this listening audience, which is why we went and helped them, because they were emailing me when I was talking about the fires. And that's how we learned about some of the situations people were dealing with on a very personal level, went beyond the news cycle and got deep down onto the personal level to find out what these people are experiencing. And that's what mobilized us and you guys as well. And so it was just a super positive experience. So we are definitely going to help spread the word. I'm going to put out the invites to several other followers that follow us on on Facebook and get that word out.
Well, let me, at the same time, let me do a just a quick shout-out to Southtown Civil Defense Group, the 63rd Lightfoot folks, and those other patriot groups that helped us the last time around. We could not have done it without them. And because of that, we decided to get Leaders started. And we look forward to working with everybody that is interested in volunteering with us.
Absolutely. And another great resource, too, is the folks over at Readout News. This would probably be something they would love to do a piece on and help get the word out, because I mean, that's kind of their target audience is the American Readout. So, I mean, those are the citizens that you know, they mostly follow Readout News, and I'd love to get as many people on board with this as possible. You're right. The groups that you mentioned, the 63rd Lightfoot and many of those others, have been very active in their communities. And this is just one of those duties and responsibilities of being a citizen that fits. I mean, this is just appropriate.
And it's biblical as well. You know, let's take care of the widows and orphans. You know, that's what we're all about, helping people out.
You bet. Well, I just sent an invite over to Readout News. Sent one to Representative Heather Scott, Matt Shea. So they'll be getting these. Of course, they're already aware of this, but they don't have the Facebook page yet. So this will get them up to speed on all that.
That's terrific.
So far and wide. So this is really good. So anything in parting? We got about a minute. So if you want to throw anything out there. Final shots.
As time moves forward and we get these concepts more fully developed, we will get the word out to you through Amron Radio Network and Readout News and other venues. I really appreciate the opportunity to have come on today to talk to you about this initiative. I'm a servant leader. And I need all the help I can get. We need all the help we can get in making this thing work.
Well, we're here to help. Okay, thank you, sir.
And God bless you all.
All right, you as well. God bless. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. RadioFreeReadout.com for our weekly podcast. God bless.